This is the Shoot Once Podcast. I'm Frank Walker. Thanks for listening, everyone. Again, this is the Shoot Once Podcast, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. It's been an interesting opening to the season for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Things have not gone exactly according to plan. The good news is we are only two games into the season. So, step back from that ledge. I can't say everything's going to be fine. I don't know how the Blue Jackets are going to do. But we're going to start in a way that we start a lot of these episodes. Looking back at Dom Lashusian's projections from The Athletic, even starting the season 0-2, he has got the Blue Jackets projected to go 39-33-10. Now, that would not be good enough to make the playoffs. He puts them in a 32% chance, part of it just being that our division's pretty deep. I don't think two games did not make this team terrible. Let's be honest about this. So we're going to get into that here in a little bit, but we want to talk about some other things going to do with the team first of all. So Friday night was opening night. Now, I want to address something that has been a little bit on Blue Jackets, Reddit and the Facebook pages and different things where people have discussed this, that opening night video. And it seemed to be a real, there seemed to be a real division on it. Now, if you haven't seen the video, you can see it on YouTube on the Blue Jackets site. It's their opening night video. And the Blue Jackets, like most teams, have a special video they show on the scoreboard on opening night, try and get everyone pumped up. Well, something the Blue Jackets did this year, and for obvious reasons, there was a big emphasis on loyalty in that opening video. The players, when they were kind of skating out in the video, there was the big word loyalty behind them. They kept showing clips of John Tortorella talking about, we want guys who want to be Blue Jackets to be here, and they had a video of Cam Atkinson talking about how he wanted to raise his family here. And if you know Cam Atkinson, I know what he's involved in. I mean, he's got a hockey skills school he's starting here and stuff. I mean, there's some definite Blue Jackets who are putting down roots in it. And it was pointed out that the Blue Jackets on the glass outside of Nationwide Arena on that main entrance at Front Nationwide there, at the plaza there, they tend to put players kind of up on the glass there as far as like photos. And they chose the four captains this year, the captains and the alternates there, as far as guys they want there, guys who tend to be who are on long-term deals and all that. That's a real big thing for them. Now, I've seen some people already come out and say, oh, this is stupid, this is us, we're letting Bob and Brad live in our heads rent-free and all that, which, first of all, I find the whole, whenever somebody mentions something about a team and someone replies on Twitter with rent-free, I find that to be a terrible comeback. Because it's professional sports. We all watch it for entertainment. We all like to make comments on it. Yes, we're going to think about teams that aren't just ours. It's fine. I mean, it's not a good comeback when we're making fun of a team for someone to be like, oh, we're in your head rent-free. Well, no, you're a sports team. Of course, we all look at sports teams. So anyway, the thing is, this seems to be some people saying, hey, we just need to move on. We need to not worry about them, all of that. But my take on this is that this was going to be the story of the first at least month of the season. Honestly, this is something that will probably be a little bit of a, I don't want to say a cloud, but it'll be a mist, a little bit of a fog around the team, until this team has some level of success without those players. Honestly, in terms of it kind of being a shadow thing, I think it will be a bigger deal if they can. I think it's a bigger deal about Bob leaving than Brett. And the reason I say that is, yes, we didn't win a playoff series until Brett was here, but we'd never even made the playoffs until Bob started showing up. So it's one of those things where The team has two choices. Either we just kind of have guys go, oh, it's no big deal, oh, we don't think about it, we don't talk about it, or the team can just acknowledge it up front. Yes, loyalty is a deal to us. Yes, the fact that these guys left is an annoyance. And the Bob one, the way that was always talked about was more of a, Bob wanted more money than the Blue Jackets wanted to pay, so I'm fine with that one. The Bread one annoys me a bit more because the Blue Jackets were willing to give him all the money. And to my understanding, the Duchesne one was the same. I think the Blue Jackets would have matched either offer, and neither guy took it. And I think that's where the Blue Jackets are kind of on this. And I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with it. I think it was a smart thing to do, just to acknowledge to the fans and everybody else. So let's get into the actual games. And I know some people probably don't want to, but hey, this is sports. This is what we're talking about. So I'm going off of some stats from Natural Stat Trick. And most of the stats I'm going to reference are going to be 5-on-5. Because I think that's the best indicator for how the team's doing. And it's the best kind of indicator of how the team's faring overall and how they're going to do going forward. These first two games, it was a tale of almost two different teams, it feels like. So I was watching the Maple Leafs game. There was this sense the whole time of, even when they were starting to get down, there was this sense of, at 5-on-5, you're keeping up, guys. You're right in this. This isn't getting too far away from you. And the stats tend to bear that out. At 5-on-5 play, the Blue Jackets, I mean, the number being Corsi as far as like shot attempts that actually got on goal and whatnot, we're looking at 50, or shot attempts that were just attempts. The Blue Jackets had right about half, 50.62, 41-4, 40 again. So, I mean, they were right there with the Maple Leafs. Scoring chances for, 23 chances against 19. That's not bad. Or, I'm sorry, that was the wrong number there. Scoring chances for, 18. Scoring chances against 12. They had 60% of the scoring chances. High danger chances, 6-4, 4 against. That isn't bad. And there were plenty of times in that Maple Leaf game that when you were watching it, there were plenty of crossbars, plenty of times where you thought to yourself, where, you know, hit right off the posts. And the thought was, this team's just unlucky tonight. And that was the feeling I had in that game. And yes, the Maple Leafs made them pay on the power play. That was a big part of it. And the Blue Jackets, I mean, their goal was right off that one face-off with Cam. But it was a game where it felt like the Blue Jackets were in it. And that's where I was encouraged in watching that game. That was not a bad game. It was the kind of game that, honestly, if I'd seen it last season, it wouldn't even been too far out of the ordinary. Now, so I wasn't too annoyed by it. I mean, it was obviously you don't want to lose the first game of the season, but you do what you can, and it wasn't a bad move by them. The second game, this 7-2 loss to the Penguins, this one hurt, and couple reasons. One, I mean, there'd been stories coming out about how the Penguins are having a slow start, not playing well, and I've been very used to the Penguins. If you watch hockey over the last few years, it is almost comical the extent to which there is a storyline of the Penguins are bad early in the season. Normally, October into November, they're not looking good. And people start saying, oh, is this the time? Oh, are things bad? Should the Penguins trade Malkins? Should the Penguins do this? Should the Penguins do that? And I've gotten to the point, and people even talked about it on Twitter, and if you follow me on Twitter, @ShootOncePod, you've seen me respond to people. You know what? I'd love to believe that the Penguins aren't good anymore, but talk to me at Christmas. And normally, about every year without fail, by around Christmas, the Penguins are rounding into form, and they look like a playoff team again. Now, again, last year they got swept by the Islanders in the playoffs, but that's not an indicator of how good or bad they really are. I mean, playoffs are weird. A tenet of this show that I talk about all the time is when you're talking about such a small sample size in a sport that has such a huge element of luck, it is hard to say, oh, well, over these 4 to 7 games, this happened, so that definitely tells us this team is better than the other. That's hard to do. Most sports, one game will not tell you who's better than the other team because it's just there's too many random events that happen. It's not that a team is it's not to say that maybe the Islanders weren't better than the Penguins, but you just, over four games, it doesn't tell you anything. So it's a tough thing. So going into this game, my hope as a fan going into this game was, well, you know what? Maybe the Penguins are still going to have that slow start, but it seems like almost every year the Blue Jackets don't play the Penguins until almost Thanksgiving. So the hope was maybe we can catch them on a game on that slow start and pick up an early win against them. That would be great, that one of our early games against the Penguins is a win. No, it was terrible. It was just a rough game from open to close. It wasn't great. I mean, they just... It was rough all around. And it didn't help that it was Elvis Merzlikins' first game in net. Now, does that help make the blow a little less? Being like, he's early, he's developing. It helps a little bit. It doesn't help that the team didn't play well in front of him. Because those nice numbers I talked about last time, where I was saying with the Corsi, that as far as shot events, it was 41-4 for the Blue Jackets, 40 against. Well, in the Penguins game, it was 41-4. So, hey, same as against the Maple Leafs. 58 against. I mean, the Penguins just loaded up. Scoring chances, 4. The Blue Jackets had 24, so one more than the previous game. The Penguins had 33, so the Blue Jackets only had 42% of the scoring chances, 4. And then, I apologize. Nope, wrong numbers again. Scoring chances for 17 to 31. So still not great. Blue Jackets had a lower percentage than I thought originally, 35%. And those high danger chances, they had 8. The Penguins had 11. On top of that, it was just an awful showing by the Blue Jackets on that game. Nobody looked good. I mean, the way I saw the game evaluated, one of the players looked the best that night was Riley Nash, and if that's happening, there's an old saying that is true in most, which in hockey, which is your best players need to be your best players, and they were not. They were not at all, and that was a major problem. So, what we're looking at, I mean, in this, two games into the season, I mean, our goalies have a combined save percentage of 841. Not great. You need that number to be at least 910 to have any chance. Now, again, it's two games, so it's a small sample size. The big issue is we are not seeing the shots on goal aren't where you want them to be for some players. There are some players that you expected to contribute on this team that are just Alexander Wedenberg's one shot on goal. Pierre-Luc Dubois, one shot on goal. Alexander Tessier is at 2. Emil Bamstrom, I guess Emil Bamstrom, we weren't expecting to be a big help, but Alexander Tessier with, you know, 2 in 2 games. You want those numbers to be 3, 4, 5. I mean, it's Bjorkstrand's four over two games, so I guess that's 2 a game. That's not bad. Some of the bigger scorers for this team, Josh Anderson had 6 over 2 games, Werenski 6 over 2 games, Foligno and Atkins each with 9 over 2 games. That's what you want. Those are the types of things you want to see happen, those kinds of shots closer to that, because it's hockey is a percentage sport. Put in shot attempts, get goals. Why? Because hockey is a goofy sport. I think it was the 4th goal against the Maple Leafs on Friday night was a shot they threw in, and Korpisalo's skate is what actually carried it into the net. That's why pucks on net is a big deal. In the past, Tortorella's talked a lot about trying to win the blue on both sides of the ice, in referring to that blue ice under the goaltender in the crease there. And the idea is that you want to, on defense, you want to keep guys out of the blue. On offense, you want to have guys in the blue. The intent being that if you are just creating chaos, you will get more goals in. Now, yes, you want those cool, you know, skillful goals, that sort of thing. But you know what? They count the same as the greasy ones. And you just got to get pucks on net. And that's something where the main issue over the first two games isn't just that we haven't gotten as many on net as we want. It's that the defense has not, we haven't stopped them from getting as many. And it's going to, And the real tricky thing here, guys, where I'm trying to walk you back, I know things are sounding real doom and gloom right now, and that's not the intent I've got on this episode. The thing is, it's only a two-game sample size. Now, from the Pittsburgh game, a couple of things I want to talk about. Leaving Elvison was the right call. He said so after the game. He thought so. And I think Tortorella was, too, because the pulling a goalie when he's being scored on a lot normally is this sign of respect. And it's this idea of, okay, you're having a bad night. We're not going to let just hang out to dry. But that's a little different in the Merzlikins situation. And the reason is, I mean, it's his first start. There's an element of anytime he is on the ice is good because he has to start learning this game. And you know what? There is also an element of when you're already down by so many, because the decision was going into that third period, whether they're going to put him back out there. When you're already down by so much, what does it help to pull him? Because we're not in a situation where it's, oh, the game is lost and we want you to save face. We're in a situation where it's, oh, the game's lost. But at this point, even if you go out there and keep making mistakes, it's still just one loss in the loss column. This isn't going to become, oh, no, now we have a second loss. It's just, let's just keep you in there and keep you learning and making mistakes. Because making mistakes is how learning happens in a lot of sports. It's realizing stuff. It's letting the game slow down. And the more time Merzlikins was on the ice, the better. And there might be another game like this year. Now, the other thing, I liked some of the quotes I was seeing after the game. Some players are already starting to get a little angry, which to some people might be a sign of, oh no, they're already losing it. Oh no, this is happening. The thing that I'm happy about with seeing some anger coming out on these players is that if you've been a Blue Jackets fan from the time when things were bad, from before the era of Tortorella, from before when they had playoff contention in their minds going into a season, you know about the issue of guys being just content with, you know, oh, you know, we played our best, but, you know, we lost another one. And just being comfortable with the idea of not being a competitive hockey team. And you know how that kind of bleeds through on things. And I know some people who are listening to the show now are like, wait, you sounded like an analytics guy 2 minutes ago. Now you're sounding like a grit and grime and toughness kind of guy. Well, I think there's an element of a workplace culture that exists. Everyone who's listening to my voice, who has ever worked somewhere, if you've worked two jobs at two different places, you know what it's like to see different company cultures in different places. Because I have been places where the company culture was bad, where it felt like you weren't appreciated, where you knew that the moment you did something wrong, you were just going to get yelled at. And there was kind of this defeated sense when you came into work of, well, I can't wait for my day to be over. Whereas I've worked other places where even though the job isn't necessarily a fun job, the culture between management and the other people you work with is more of a celebratory, we're all going to work hard, we're all going to do it together, we're going to be successful together, and how that changes things. Culture does also exist in sports, and it can make a difference in how guys play. It can make a difference in how a team acts over the course of a season. I know the analytics guys don't like it, or at least some of them don't. I think some of them are starting to pick up on, yeah, there's something to that. It's just, it's hard to quantify, so it's not easy to throw into a number there. But I'm glad to see them stick into this. No, we're not happy with losing. No, we're not just, oh, well, we lost those really good guys, so what do you expect? So I'm glad we're not seeing that. So let's not lose focus here. Every year, every team gets losses like this, even good teams. This is just two games. Really, on a hockey team, you got to give this at least a month before we start saying, ah, oh, we're going this way or oh, we're going that way. Remember, guys, the St. Louis Blues were at the bottom of the league. What was it? Thanksgiving or Christmas last year, and then won a Stanley Cup. This is hockey. It's weird. And that's fine. Let's relax. And remember, this is a good season to not become overwhelmed with your expectations. because we don't know what we're going to see. We talked about it at the beginning of this, of just a couple episodes ago. We could be looking at a situation of a team that has a lottery pick. We could be talking about a team that can sneak into the playoffs. I'm not sure what we're going to see, and that's fine. Try and just enjoy the season for what it is. Now, right now, that's hard to do because losing 7-2 to the Penguins is about as bad as it gets. But keep this in mind. If that's as bad as it gets, we've already had that this season. So let's see where it goes and try and be positive here at this point. Now, Monday, we play Buffalo. And then we get a little 3-day break. So let's talk about Buffalo for a second. The Sabres, in their two games, they beat the Penguins 3-1, and then they loaded up on the Devils 7-2. This is starting to look like a good team, a very good team. And they're 5-on-5. They're averaging 57-58% of the Corsi events. Scoring chances for against the Penguins, they had 66%. Against the Sabres, it was 70%. High danger chances against the Penguins, they had 91% of them, 11 chances to 1. Against the Devils, it was 8 chances to 5 as far as high danger. They are playing well. It's starting to look like the team that they've been trying to build for years, that has been drafting for years, might actually be good, might actually be starting to do something. And now part of it, too, is their goalie is playing very well. Carter Hutton has a .939 save percentage. 49 shots against, 46 saves. So they're doing a couple of things. I mean, when you're seeing those numbers on the high danger chances and on the scoring chances, what that tells you is that what they're letting get in front of Carter Hutton is not great chances. So he is not having to... he's not having to play out of his mind to have good numbers. He can play good, adequate goaltending and have good numbers if they're keeping the chances low on him. Because they, when you, and for those of you who aren't aware, when we're talking about high danger scoring chances and scoring chances are things where it's, you know, you actually got a clean shot at the net, and it's not just, oh, just kind of throwing the puck in there. High danger are things where you've got a clean shot and you are, you know, it's like a breakaway. It's like you are getting right there. You've got almost a clean shot in front of the goalie, that sort of thing. As far as the Sabres go, the young defenseman, Rasmus Dahlin, he's starting to look like the way you wanted him to. 1 goal, 3 assists in 2 games. Sam Reinhart's finally looking the way they want him to. 2 goals and 1 assist. Jack Eichel's 1 goal, 2 assists. There's Jeff Skinner, 1 goal, 1 assist. There's a lot of good talent on this team. Now, the thing is, the Sabres weren't great last year. Is it possible that the Sabres are just on the opposite track of the Blue Jackets? It is. So, I mean, trying to say who's going to win one specific hockey game is a fool's errand. It just doesn't make sense because of all that could happen. But the Sabres are a team that is playing well right now. Will they continue that Monday against the Blue Jackets? I don't know. But keep your eyes open, because for years now, the Sabres have been really bad, and I get a feeling that if the Blue Jackets lose to them on Monday, the Jackets will be 0-3, and fans will be like, oh, we've lost to the Sabres now. And if you don't keep in mind that this is a team with a lot of talent that looks like they've been on the verge of being good, then you might want to jump off that bridge even a little more than you are right now. But I'm trying to talk you down off it preemptively. Now, the Sabres also were a team that started last year hot and then cooled down. So we don't know what we're going to see. It's early in the hockey season. Everything is still kind of a, you know, we'll see when we get there kind of setting. The thing that I am kind of encouraged by, too, looking into this, is that the team has, after that Buffalo game, there's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday the team has off. Before they have a Friday, Saturday, at Friday Anaheim, Saturday Carolina, and then another 3 days before home against Dallas. So the cool part is this whole month, they're not going far. The farthest plane trip I think they have is either Toronto or Philadelphia. I'm not sure which one's further by plane. I guess Carolina might be in there, but they're all pretty short trips. A lot of games at home, and a lot of sections, several sections of 2 and even 3 days. So if you all remember, I'm trying to remember if it was last year or if it was 2 years ago, but it was one of these years where, you know, we came in and it was the Blue Jackets had two games right at the beginning of the season. They lost both of them. And then they had a 5-day break before their next game. And it was interesting because they lost the first two. And it was interesting because the team talked about almost like they got to have another mini training camp for those 5 days to kind of reevaluate what's going on. And that's kind of what we might be looking at here, in that because there's been big changes to this team, you know, Alexander Tessier in the first line, we've got rookies on the team, we've got two new goalies, or two guys who are not, I guess, not new in the case of Jonas Korpisalo, but we don't have Bobrovsky back there playing goal. So there may be some things the coaches are having to figure out on the fly about what's going to work best with this team. And then until the games are real, you really don't see that. So, I mean, in the span of the next... In the span of the next 10 days, the Blue Jackets only play on three of them. So there's a real chance there that the Blue Jackets have a chance to look at the tape, figure out what's really working for them, for players to kind of evaluate where they're at, and a chance for a turnaround there, which is really what you're hoping to see if things don't go well against Buffalo on Monday night. And here's the other thing, guys. Let's look at it this way, too. If the Blue Jackets come out Monday night, if they beat Buffalo 5-0 and Korpisalo gets a shutout, that's not like all the problems are solved either. I mean, the issues that we had going into the season will still be there after Monday, win or lose. And we have to know consistently, are we going to get goal scoring? Are we going to get decent goaltending? And is, you know, how many of these guys are going to turn out to be what we want and expect them to be. So it's a little bit of a different show this week, and I understand it's strange to kind of start this season this way. I don't know what some people saw. I have seen things online of people saying everything from, I think one of the crazier views I saw was somebody saying, I don't think this team will win 13 games. And then after these first two games, they were like, well, maybe even less now. And no, that's not going to happen, guys. This team's too good for that. It's not going to be a 13-win season. That's not what it's going to be. Now, if there's injuries, I could reserve things. Specifically on the blue line. If we start getting blue line injuries, things go out the window. Because part of the reason I think this team will still be borderline competitive, and this is something I said when even Brad was looking at leaving, before we knew he was leaving. Something I said was, as long as we have Seth Jones and Zach Werenski on this team will have a shot at the playoffs. And the reason I said that is that a hockey philosophy I have kind of bought into over the last few years is that what good defensemen do for you is they can help make up for borderline forwards. Because if you have good defensemen on the ice, they are able to make it, instead of having to just pass it to forwards and expect them to get it up the ice and get them to get offensive zone time for you, those defensemen can drive offensive zone time. Zach Werenski actually had a shot, had a couple of times, specifically in the Toronto game, where he was just everywhere in the offensive zone. Yes, he didn't score, but man, he was creating pressure. He was doing a great job doing it, and that's what you want. That's what you want those defensemen to do, which is part of the reason I'm hoping we stick within with keeping Jones and Werenski split up, because it allows you to have Jones doing the driving play on one and Werenski driving play on another pair. It is a huge part of what I think is a good strategy in trying to get things worked out for the team there. So I still have a decent amount of confidence going into the rest of the season, a decent amount of optimism. We'll see where things go from here. I'm there with you guys, and then I hope we see a big win on Monday, and then we see a little bit of a winning streak here. But I'm not going to be completely disheartened if we don't see it just yet, because this is how hockey seasons go. Now, if we start seeing what we saw with Todd Richards a few years back, what got him fired, that, what was it, we lost 8 straight to start the season, yeah, we might have an issue. But if you remember, that team then ended up being decently competitive the rest of the season, and then the next year is when we got the 16-0 run. So, I mean, it's not like the talent wasn't there, or some of the talent wasn't there. We obviously added some pieces. But I think this team has the talent to remain competitive. So I'll talk to you guys again later in the week. Again, you know, watch the game, have a good time, and I'll talk to you later. This has been the Shoot Once podcast. Follow us on Twitter @ShootOncePod.